We're here on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, continuing the Sugya of Yeish Shelo Midas. Toshma. Haganov Shenotal Mizeh V'Nosim Lezeh V'Chein Gazlon Shenotal Mizeh V'Nosim Lezeh. And we know that the difference is between a Ganov and a Gazlon is that a Ganov steals stealthily, nobody sees him. A Gazlon or Lista Mizuyam, he accosts the nigzal and takes it without any busha and steals the object. In that case, of course, the nigzal sees the gazlan. Here we are in Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. V'chein yardein shenotal mizeh v'nosan lezeh. If the riverbanks overflow and the water takes the object from Reuven's field into Shimon's field, or and in all these cases, the Braisa concludes by saying, "Masha notal notal, umasha nosan nosan." In other words, the person whose field received this object, or in this case, the ganav of the gazlan, is kone, because his yeush bailu. Again, the Tana mentions Yaradein, Rashi points out, that's Lav Dafka. Interesting that the Yushalmi and Chala interprets this Braisa as far as Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, because the Yaradein is the Gvul, is the boundary between Eretz Yisrael and Chuslaretz. And if the Yaradein takes Gushe Adom, it takes ground from Chuslaretz, and washes it across the bounds, across the boundaries in Eretz Yisrael, is Masha Nosan Nosan, that dirt becomes sanctified with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And in the opposite direction, that's also true if the dirt was washed away from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, then it has a din of Eretz Amim of Chutz Laretz. In any event, our Gemara is quoting this Braisa in order to establish that Yeush Alomidas have Yeush, because he's not aware of the fact that this took place, at least not in the case of a Ganov. Bishleima Gazlan v'Yardain, you can understand and justify Gazlan and Yardain, the Kochazile Umiyash, because the Nigzal sees the Gazlan. The Gazlan is not embarrassed, he's bold, he's brazen. And therefore he's miyayish. He realizes he doesn't have a chance to get his chefetz on nigzal back from the gazlan. In the case of Yardain, let's assume that he's aware of the Yardain. He knows that the river goes up and down, takes things away, washes things away. Elaganov, mika chazile de miyayish. In the case of a ganov, who sees the ganov? I mean, the whole godless of a ganov. What singles out a ganav is that he comes in, you know, burrows his way in underground stealthily, and nobody sees him. So the nignav is not aware of the gneva, and therefore how can he be misyayish according to Rava, according to Abaye, who says that yeish lo midas lo haviyeush. And it would seem that the Brice is talking about a case of something that's ein derech lemashmish b'hen. We spoke about Mos, it's the derech of a person to be aware of the fact that Mos are stolen, but this price doesn't qualify that we're talking about Mos or things of that like, and it would seem that whatever the ganav takes is there's a chalos yeush, and that would be yeush alo midas. Now, the Gemara understands that the word ganav is to be understood kipshuto, as it means all over. And if you take a look at the original source, this Tosefta is brought in Bava Kamma, and Rebbe's opinion over there is that whether it's Gzela or Gneva, in both cases we say that the Baal HaMa Misyayish, and that you'll see in Tosfos on top of the page, the Ramaskal Ma. The Gemara says Tirgumar Rav Papa Belistim Mizuyan. So Rav Papa interprets that this price is not talking about a classical ganov who doesn't have any weapons in his hand, but rather we're talking about a ganov who is a list of mizuyan. Mizuyan means he's well armored, he's got his weapons, and therefore the nignav is aware of this theft and he gives up hope. He's misyayish midas. Ihochi hainu gazlan. Then what's the difference here? The Brice distinguishes between a ganov and a gazlan. And the Gemara answers, Trey Gavne Gazlan. There are two categories of a Gazlan. There's a Gazlan who hides from other people, and the only one who knows about it, about the theft, is the Nignav, because the Gazlan accosts him with clay, Zion, with weapons. And then there's the Gazlan who brazenly, boldly, in the light of day, steals from people, and he's the Gazlan. Now, elsewhere in Shas, the Gemara wants to know exactly why you have to tell Betray Gavne the Gazlan. What's the Chiddush here? I mean, what difference does it make if everyone sees him in the light of day, or only the Nigzal is aware of him? And the Gemara tells us that although a Stam Gazlan is a case where for sure he's misyayish, here, since other people, Chazon Yecheskel, Rav Yecheskel Bramsky, interprets it a little differently. He assumes that Listim Zuyon, as opposed to regular Gazlan, has the weapons in his hand, and therefore the Nigzal is misyayish. Stam Gazlan, he's not afraid of the Kli Zion, probably because although he sees the Kli Zion, he sees the Gazlan, he doesn't see any Kli Zion. If it would have just said the word Gazlan, we would have said that's the case where he's misyayish in that case only, because he's bold and brazen, he does it in the light of day. But Listim Mizuyon, who again is very clandestine about it, but since he comes with a Kli Zion, so you could go this way or that way, you might say that since he's afraid of other people, maybe there's no Yeush. But the answer is there's Yeush here because of the Kli Zion. So there are two situations of a Gazlan, and the Braisa uses two different terms, and in each case there's a Chiddush of Yeush. One case you would say there's no Yeush because there's no Listim, there's no Mizuyan, and the other case of Gazlan, which is Listim Mizuyan, since everybody sees him, he's Misyayish. Toshma. So the Gemara asks now a question from another Braisa. Shataf Nar Korov, Eitzav Avanov. This is a similar case to what we had before, where the river overflows over its banks and it sweeps along with it various beams or stones, bricks that are worth something. Nesono Betoch Stechavero, and it deposits it in from Reuven's field, washing it up into Shimon's field. Arei Elu Shalom. Why? Mipnei Shenis Yashua Bailun. Now, this would seem to prove Abayi's Shita. In other words, the Braisa says that the reason why Tzarei Shalom is conditional on the fact that there was Yeush Bailun, time of the Nis Yashua Bailun, Hostoma, had it just been Aveda, nobody knows about it, and the owner of the Eitzim Vavonim is not aware of the fact that his Eitzim Vavonim were, so to speak, stolen by the river, lo. So we see that even though at the end, when he finds out about it, it'll be Messiah, right now it's not Yeush, it's only with Nation, it's Yashua, Bailon Befoal, that's Abaye, Hochavayaskinon, Kisha Yochel Lahatzil. The case that we're talking about is a case of an Aveda Shiyachola Latzila. In other words, a Stam Aveda, normally the word Aveda means nobody knows about it. And in that case, Aveda She'en Lakol, we thought the Braisa was saying that in that case you have to return the Aveda. That's against Rava. No, we're talking about an Aveda of a unique nature where he could actually, if he puts in the effort, he could save the object. It's not completely washed away. If he runs after it, he can find it. And the Braisa says that if the owner of the Aveda did not put out the effort to save his object, then that's proof positive that he was Misyayish. Now, in such a case, we need this proof, even according to Rava, to demonstrate his Yeush, because in the absence of that proof, we're going to say that he could still save it, and therefore there's no Yeush. It's not a case of Sofa Lisyayish. Now, according to this explanation, that the Bryce is talking about a case of Yochel Atzila, have to learn the Sefer that's Bryce. Ihochi Ema Sefer Im Hoyu Abaylim Miradfim Achreihem. We're talking about a case where the Baal sees that the Nahar is coming and it's washing away his objects, and he starts running to try to save it. Chayev, in such a case, there's a mitzvah Ashavas Aveda. Anyone who sees this, or Shimon into whose field, because Reuven was unsuccessful, is Chayev Lahatzir. He has to return to his Baalim. Ibi Yochel, Ibi Chom Lahatzir, my area. Miradfim, afilu ein miradfim nami. The Gemara says that we don't need miradfim. We don't need that it's obvious to everyone that the Bailim are doing some sort of a kumvase, some sort of active effort to try to protect and save their objects. Is since it's so far, since at the end of the day it's yicholim lahatzil, therefore There's no yeush, and there should be a chiyuv hashova even without meradfim. So the Gemara answers, "Hachem mayaskinon biyichol lahatzil ayidei hadchak." He's got to move really fast and put in a great deal of effort in order to save it. It's not something that he could delay. It's an urgent, immediate kind of hatzola, and therefore meradfim. Lo ayuish. He reveals that he's trying to get it and he's not despairing when he immediately starts running after it as the river is washing it away. Emiradfim, if he sits tight, sits pretty, is then we can assume, since it's a dochak situation, it's an immediate urgent situation, that he yuish miyayish. He's definitely being misyayish. Now Tosis points out that you get the impression from the Gemara that the case in the Braisa is where the Bailim are actually standing there along the riverside, along the riverbank, and they're witnessing this entire event happen, and the question is, are they doing anything about it? If they do nothing, that's called Yeush, and that's called Nisiyashua Bailim in the Reisha, and if they are trying Muradfim to do whatever they can, then there's not Yeush. However, what about the case of Yecholim Lahatzil, Yecholim Lahatzilo, even without chak, meaning even after it was washed away, they can still steal it. In such a case, even though the Bailim are not there, you cannot determine yeush. You cannot set up yeush. That's not considered avud. And even Rav would agree that it's not yeush, because yochel atzilo afilu achreish nishtaf. Now the Gemara is saying, "Ihochi emos seifa im hoya bailim miradfim chayim lahachzir," and the Gemara is trying to prove from the seifa that the Reish is also talking about a case where yochel lahatzil right now, and the bailim are present there, and then we establish yeish by the fact that he's not running after it. But if it would have been a case of yochel lahatzil af achreish and ishtatfa, then there'd be no difference between Miradfim and not Miradfim, because even if the Bailim are unaware of what's going on and they're not present, nevertheless it would not be an Aveda, because they could be Matzal even after Shenishtaf. The Gemara's answer is Yecholim Lahatzil Li'achar Shtifa Rak Al Yedei Adchak. Tosus, and this you'll see in Dibra Maskel Shotaf, this long Tosus here, he assumes that the Gemara's answer is that yes, it is talking about a case of Yecholim Lahatzil Li'achar Shtifa, but Rak Al Yedei Hadchak. It would be a tremendous effort. According to Tosfos, if it's Yecholim Lahatzil Li'achar Shtifa Al Yedei Hadchak, in other words, if he doesn't move and do it immediately, then although he could possibly feasibly save the object, but it's going to be really chancy. It's a very risky situation. He needs a tremendous amount of effort to successfully save his Aveda. And therefore, it depends. If they do something immediately, then we assume there's no Yeush. because they're not going to rely on the fact that later on they could be matzalit since it's al yedei chak. But if it's ena maradfim, then we assume that the bailim are misyayish. Now, according to that interpretation, it does seem that the bailim are aware of what's going on, and they have to make a cheshbon that two options are either to be maradev or to be matzal later on after the shtif al yedei chak. So now, according to Tosis, when it says Yecholim Lahatzil, we understand that it's not like the case of Shluliso Shel Nohar that we discussed earlier, the Zuto Shel Yam case, which is an objective Yeush, and we didn't even have to come on to Yeush. And the reason is because Shluliso Shel Nohar, there's no way even Al Yedei Chak that he can scuba dive down to the bottom of the ocean and find it. Toshma, now we have another braisa. Ketzad omru hatorim shalomidas. Now we're talking about Afrosh's truma. And the braisa is addressing a case where somebody was mafresh, we'll call him Shimon, was mafresh the truma on behalf of Reuven, shalomidas. Now normally we say zochin liodim shalom b'fonov, but here it's a little bit tricky. Why? Because we're not always sure exactly what the Bailim themselves would be happy about. The different levels of Truma. Truma is Chita Achas Poter Sakri, according to the Ikar Adin. There's no minimum amount that you have to give for Truma. The Chazal set up a Shear. 1/60th is Ayin Ra. 1/40th is Ayin Tova. And 1/50th is Ayin Beinon. 2% is down the middle. The Beinoni situation. And here the Braisa opens up by telling us that Zochin Liodim Shalom B'Fonav applies and Afrosh is Chal. Then it continues, Hareshi Yorad L'Soch Sdei Chavero V'Liket V'Toram Shalom B'Shus. And the Braisa now gets into more specific details about the scenario. Again, Shimon goes down into Reuven's field and he harvests some of the fruits, which that itself was good, and then he's mafresh truma, but he doesn't notify the Baal HaSodeh. I mean, you have to wonder why Shimon is doing such a thing. So, im choshesh mishum gezel, if the Baal HaBayis is not happy with it, this is what we call kpeda, and therefore, in the eyes of the Baal HaBayis, what Shimon did by taking away his Reuven's fruits is gzela. In such a case, ain truma so truma. The truma is not chal, because it's not zochel liodim shalom b'fonav. V'im lav truma so truma. But if the Baal is happy with it and he agrees and expresses some sort of or indicates some sort of acceptance and will, then we apply the principle of Zochel Liodim and the Trumas Chal. The Braisa continues, how would we know, or the Mafresh, how would he know Yodea, how would he know Im Choshesh Mishum Gezel V'im Lav? There's got to be some sort of indication, one way or the other, that the Baal HaBayis is either Makbid or not Makbid. He's either happy or unhappy. Is Hareisha Bo Baal HaBayis U'Mitzov V'Yomer Lo Klach Eitzel Yofos. The case is going to be, says the Braisa, where the Baal HaBayis says, why didn't you give better fruits than the ones you gave? And now we have to figure out, did he mean this seriously or facetiously? Im Nimtzu Yofos Mehem. If there are better ones, that means he was very serious when he said you could have even given better ones. Is Trumasa Truma. In other words, he's not complaining. He's only saying, you know, for my part, you could have even given a higher quality fruits for Truva. I love the Kohanim. V'im lav. But if there's no better fruits, ain't Trumasa Truva, then we assume that he was being facetious. In the Lashon Kodesh is Al Manas L'Kanter. Out of kas, out of a sense of anger, he said to him, ha, you know what? If you would have found better quality fruits, you would have given that to the Kohen. You've been even a greater Gazlan. Meaning he shows that he's not satisfied with what went on. He was makbid on the Afrosh Shalo, Shalomidaito, Shalomidiyoso. Now the Braisa gives another case where the Bailim indicate that they are happy, satisfied with Hafrasha, liktu HaBailim. After the Hafrasha was done, the Bailim decide to add even more peril, so Sifra Alehim is Benkach u Benkach. Then it's irrelevant whether the Hafrasha that he's adding is of a higher quality or not a higher quality. There's a Gili Das here. He simply indicates by his actions that he's happy and satisfied with the Hafrasha. It's very interesting to think about this Hosafa. I mean, the halacha is that whatever is, this is a Mishnah in Trumos in the fourth parak, whatever is Ole Biyado, that's Truma. But the Mishnah says explicitly, Chazar V'Hosif Aleim Lo Chal. Once the Truma is Chal on the first Hafrasha, then there's no Shem Tevel. The Shem Tevel has been removed. What's ever left is Chulin, and you can't be Mafish Truma from Chulin. There's no such thing as voluntary Truma from Chulin. That's clear from the Mishnah in Trumas. The Meiri addresses this question, and he points out that Trumaso Truma here in this Braisa means the following: Ha'ikar Shehifrish Hashliach. It doesn't mean that the Tosefes, which the Balabais adds, is going to be Truma, as a Chaloshem Truma. No. That's not so. The Tosefes is not Truma. It's Chulin. The Truma here that the Braisa is establishing is with regard to the Hafrasha Sashliach. Fine. Now, the Gemara tries to understand from this Braisa that Yeush Shalomidas have Yeush to support Rav against Abaye. V'chinimtzu Yofes men Trumaso Truma Mai Be'idna de Toram Ho Lo Havi Yoda. Meaning, the Baal is unaware of the Hafrasha. Later on, he finds out about it and he reveals his Askoma, his agreement. But how could the Truma be Chal in its moment unless you're assuming that since later on he'll agree to the Truma? Therefore, even now it's as if he agreed to the Truma. That would be Ravasvar of Yeh Shalomidas. Later on, when he finds out about the Aveda, he'll be Messiah. So now also it's as if he was Messiah. But according to Abaye, requires Yeh Mamish Befal. Here also, the Truma could only be meaningful if at the time of the Hafrasha, the Bailim gave their agreement. But here, the Bailim didn't give their agreement. And the only way you can justify this Truma, the Braisa that recognizes and validates the Truma, is only if you assume that later on the Gili Das, that the Baal was happy with it, Klachei Tzel Yofos, is somehow Chala Mafreya. As if at the time of the Hafrasha he indicated his Das, his Ratzon, and his Askoma. And we should apply the same logic to Yeush, that if later on, when he finds out about the loss, he indicates his Yeush, his tacit, you know, his agreement, his active agreement, then we can go back to the moment of Asi Liyade, when the finder found the object, and say there was Yeush there already. And here's one of the rare cases where Rava comes to defend Abaye. Tirguma Rav Halib Abaye. The case of the Braisa according to Abaye, otherwise this Braisa is explicitly against Abaye, is the Shavye Shliach, where the Bailim, that's Reuven, actually appointed Shimon as a Shliach. Now, you might ask the question, well, if Reuven appointed Shimon as a Shliach, so what's the Braisa dealing with here? I mean, there's Ratzon HaBailim from the get-go. Yeah, but the answer is that the Shliach was not given a specific mandate as to exactly what he should be mafresh. And this is a general question. How does the Shliach know exactly if the Mishalech sends him on as his agent on a project and he doesn't give him specific instructions? What does the Shliach do? And he has to somehow figure out what the Baal wants, what the Mishalech wants him to do. In any event, it's clear from this Gemara of Tirguma Rava Liba Dabaye that according to Rava, who holds Yeush Shalomidas Havi Yeush, then we're going to apply the principle of Hochiach Sofa Al Tchiloso, and even if he didn't appoint this mafrish as his shliach, the afrosh would be chal. Now, in the case of an aveda sheyesh ba siman, we say that Rava was modet abaye, and yeish is inapplicable. Yeish lo midas. Here also, what is this case of the afrosh of the peros? Is that like a davar sheyesh bo siman, a davar shein bo siman? If we have no clue, if we can't anticipate what the Baal HaSad is going to say when he finds out about the Afrasha, in the case of Torim Shalom Bershus, where there was no Shlichus, isn't that like a Dovah Sheish Bo Siman? You know, there has to be some element of predictability in order to say Yeish Shalom Midas Avi Yeish, even according to Rava. We can predict and anticipate that he'll find out about the loss and he'll be Mesiyash, but Dovah Sheish Bo Siman, no. Here also, how do you go about predicting that the Baal HaBayis will be satisfied with Afrasha and set up a case of a Davar Sheish Bo Siman of the Yeish Lo Midas? But the answer is, and this you'll find in the Ramban and in other Rishonim, that this Tvua, the grains in the granary, are Omdos Litrom. In other words, it's normal procedure to go ahead and be mafresh. You don't want to leave this tvua around. Most people are happy with truma from yafos, from the good quality fruits or grains. And therefore it's like a dover shembo simon, which according to Rabbi Haviyesh, because we can anticipate that he'll be satisfied. Again, it's a little bit difficult, the Ramban, because the Gemara gives you the impression that, you know, when he says klachet zol yafos, you know, it could go either way. You know, we don't really know. And we have to go see if there are yafos, if they're not yafos. It doesn't sound like we could really classify this as a dover shein bo siman and anticipate that he'll be happy about it. But in any event, Rav interprets this price as a case where he, Reuven, the owner of the field, had appointed Shimon as his shliach. The Gemara wants to give a little bit of a support from the Braisa to this approach, to this ukimta. Hachinam mistabra, the Isal kadak the lo shav yeshliach, miyavi trumaso truma. We don't know that the halach of zachin the odom shalom b'fanav, a self-appointed shliach, applies to truma. And therefore, if there was no shlichus, then the whole endeavor, this whole project of being mafresh on someone else's behalf, seems to be futile. It's a futile effort. And let's go back to the pasuk in Chumash, in Bamidbar Yudches, in the parasha of Truma. It says, "Kein tarimu gam atem trumas Hashem." And the phrase "gam atem," or at least the "gam" in the "gam atem," is superfluous. And what do we derive from this gam? So Chazal say, atem, gam atem. It could have said atem. What's the gam atem on Rachmona? The extra word gam has nothing to do with charbona. Is the rabo shluchachem? This is a ribui to tell you that the shliach has to be like atem. There's an equation here between the shliach and the mshaleach. And there are many halachas that are in shlichus, many restrictions and limitations in shlichus that are derived from this equation between the shliach and the mshaleach. But for our context, we only are interested in singling out one of them. Ma atem l'daitchem, af shluchachem l'daitchem. Which means that just like the Baal, Reuven, the owner of the field, when he's mafresh, he doesn't midas. He's not compelled to do it. So too the shliach has to do it midas bailim. Which means that this extra yalfusa, this extra gav, is coming to mafkia the normal halacha of zachin liyodim shlo b'fanav. And here we want to make reference to the sugya nedarim. The Gemara there has a suffek in the case of toreim miperish shalo al shel chavero. If somebody, let's say Shimon, was mafish from his own fruits on behalf of Reuven, do you need das bailim? And the Rishonim ask, what's going on? Because here we have ma atem l'daitchem af shluchachem l'daitchem. How can the Gemara raise such a suffer? And he answers that if he's tori mishal chaver al shal chaver, if Shimon takes Reuven's fruits and he's mafresh, then you need das bailim. That's the gam atem. if he's torn from his own fruits, then we don't need shlichus. And the Gemara has a suffix whether or not this is considered a schus bailim, and we could apply zach and shalom fana. Meaning that if Shimon is being mafresh from Reuven's fruits, then he's considered the long arm, so to speak, of the mishalech, of the owner. And there's no din of zach and shalom fana. You have to know whether the bailim, Reuven in this case, could have this vicarious hafrasha through Shimon, because it's Reuven's own fruits. And here the Braisa is establishing, based on Gam, that there's no din of Zach and Liadav Shal Befanav, it's Ein Chav and Liadav Elishab Befanav. And in such a case, the Gemara says that the Shimon's hafrasha is not valid on behalf of Reuven, because you need Das Reuven, Das Baila. In the case where Shimon went ahead and he was mafresh his own fruits on behalf of Reuven, then we don't see Shimon as the Yada Richta, so to speak, of the Bailim. We're not applying the principle of Shlichus here, but rather we're applying the principle of Zochen Liadav Shel Befanav, where the Maisa is the Maisa of the Mezake on behalf of the Zoche. And here the Gemara vacillates as to whether or not you need Das Bailim. And just to embellish this point, we could say the following, that Zochen Liadav Shel Befanav is a very powerful and comprehensive, extensive principle that works when there's some sort of special schus that the Mezaka is implementing on behalf of the Zoche. Here, in the case in the Durham, where Shimon went ahead and he offered his peros on behalf of Reuven. Reuven takes no loss, and it's a win-win situation for Reuven. That's called Zochen Liadav Shel Befanav. But if Shimon was mafresh from Reuven's peros, basically all he's doing from him on his behalf is the physical effort of the Maisa Hafrasha. And on the contrary, he's really taking away peros from Shimon, from Reuven on behalf of the Kohen. That's not Zochen Liadav Shel Befanav. That can only work through Shlichus, and that requires Das Bailim. Now the Gemara says, Ma atem ledaitchem af shluchachem ledaitchem. That's the girsa that we have, and from this girsa we can derive the conclusion that Shimon cannot be mafresh on behalf of Reuven unless he is a shliach. This girsa is very difficult according to the Rambam in Perek Daled Milchus Trumos, where the Rambam doesn't add the qualification of aso shliach. And if you take a look in the Hagos Hagra here, Os Aleph, which you'll see it in great length, an unusual Gra, where he goes and offers a different girsa, and this is bracketed with an Aleph, his girsa is that the Rambam has Vitizra Va'atem Omarachmana. And according to that girsa of the Rambam, this is just a question of the Gemara. The Gemara was wondering, could Rav Zukim to be accepted? So it's not that Hachinam Mistabra, but Vitizbara, that we're talking about a case of Aso Shliach. Why does Reuven have to say Klach Etzel Yofos? We have a principle of Shlucho Shel Adam Kimoso. So let's see the Gemara's answer now and interpret it according to the Girsa of the Rambam, as the Gaon would have it. Ella says the Gemara, Hocha b'mayaskinon kigon deshavya shliach. Now what does that mean? According to our Girsa, which is the Girsa of other Rishonim, the Gemara's clearly stipulating that this whole endeavor of somebody, Shimon, being mafresh Shimon on behalf of someone else is conditioned on the fact that he, the mafresh Shimon, was in fact appointed as a shliach. That's kigon deshavi shliach, and we'll see the next part of the Gemara soon. According to the Rambam, however, we don't need appointing of shliach. So what's this hachi? You know, Hachamayaskino b'deshavi shliach. Now, if the Bailim appointed a shliach, but he didn't tell the shliach from whence he should be mafresh the truma, then apparently you need a gili das of klachet or yofos. But that again makes sense according to Rava, who's trying to defend Abaye. In truth, however, lefi IMS, we don't need this answer. And for that, we'd have to learn a sugya in Kiddushin on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, Hahu Sarsia de Kaddish Befruma de Shichra. And if there's a mitzvah, the Gemara says, to be Torim, then Gili Das at the end is meaningful for the Bailim, even if he did not appoint this person as a shliach. That's the unique status of a mitzvah. And in true, we have that unique status of a mitzvah. And therefore, you don't need B'shavi shliach. That's how the Rambam learns this sugya. The Tosis, on the other hand, doesn't have the word v'tizbra. And Tosis there in Kiddushin, in the sugya of Sarsia, he interprets that we're talking about a case with B'shavi shliach. Now, the Ramban is of the opinion, like the Rambam, that in our sugi you don't need mini shlichus in truma, all you need is gili das. And when the Ran asks on the Ramban, why is that so? I mean, the sugi seems to assume that in afreshes truma you certainly need mini shlichus. Rabbi Kivega comes to protect and defend the Ramban, and he says that our Gemara, according to Rava, compares Hafrashas Truma to the case of Yored Shalo Bershus. And in that case, when there's Yeush later on, meaning the Baal indicates his Haskama later on, we can apply the principle of Zach and the Elder Shalo Bafanav. And therefore the Yored, whose Maisa Hafrasha, his Truma, was on behalf of the Baal HaBayis, that could work, that could be operative. And then we have to assume that the Atem Gam Atem is not engendering a requirement, an absolute condition that he has to be Memanehim Ashliach, but rather we're working within the framework of Zochin Shalo Biyadov, Zochin Yadav Shalo Bafanov, which is a kind of Shlichus, works within the framework of Shlichus, but it's not Shlichus Mamash. In any event, the way Tosis learns this sugya is the Amalei Zil Trom. The Baal HaBayis was explicitly and verbally Memana, he appointed this shliach to be Torim on his behalf. Amalei Trom Mihani, he didn't specify from whence, from which peros the shliach should be mafrish. Ustame the Baal HaBayis ki Torim mibeninis utarim. Your average citizen is a Beinonim. Most of us are Beinonim, and we are Mafrish from 1/50th, which is the Midah Beinonis. V'ozel iu v'toram miyofos. This Shliach went ahead and he was Mafrish from the highest quality. U'ba Baal HaBayis u'mitzov yomer lei klach etzel yofos. So is the Baal HaBayis indicating that he is the exception to the general populace? He belongs to the silent minority of tzaddikim, of chassidim, of ayin yofeh, and he would like to have a fresh on the highest level from the highest quality fruits and 1/40th. So in nimtzu yofes mem trumasa trumim lavein trumasa truma, we simply analyze his statement, his declaration, when he finds out which quality beninus was the shliach mafrish, and we'll be able to determine based on our analysis of his response as to whether or not he's happy and he's satisfied with this afrosha, or he's makbit. He wants the afrosha to be only from the best. You know, he's not a midah beninus guy. And klachi tzel yofos means, again, not the way we said it earlier, that he's being facetious, but rather he's being very serious, and he's makbid, and he wants hafrosha min hayofa. Tosfos, dira maskel v'im lav, which is towards the end of the daf, he's bothered by a sugyan ksubis. The Gemara there establishes that even though minastam, your average balabayas, is mafresh 1/50th, which is ayin benenis, but nevertheless, the Gemara establishes that if the shliach went ahead and he was mafresh 1/40th or 1/60th, the truma is truma. And the shliach has a right to say that I did what I thought was appropriate for my balabayas. That's how I shot stuff. That's how I evaluated my balabayas as either a midah, a Yafa guy, or you know, an Ayin Yafa guy, or an Ayin Ra guy. And Tosis wants to know here also, let the Shliach come along and say, you know, I thought that he would want the Hafrash from this quality. And Tosis sets up a Chiluk there. And he says that in the case in Ksubis, the Sugya there's an Umdana of the Shear of how much and what percentage of the fruits are going to be designated by this particular balabayas as truma. And therefore, the shliach has a right to claim that I thought the balabayas was amongst those who give more or less, you know, 1/40th, 1/60th. Here, what happened was, we're not dealing with kamus, with, you know, how much or what volume of peros, what percentage of the field should be given, but we're dealing with echus, we're dealing with the quality of the fruits. And here we don't have a category necessarily of regulus to anticipate peros yofin, that dafka, you know, the afrasha, the balabais would seek out, you know, the highest quality fruits in order to give that to the kohen. And therefore, the shliach has no right to say that I figured out, oh yeah, he wants to give minayofos. And therefore, when the balabais indicates that he's not happy with this hafrasha, the hafrasha is not chal. And the shliach doesn't have this protective argument that he had a right to assume that the balabais belongs to the 1/40th or the 1/60th category, as is the case in the Gemara in Ksubas. Now, if we're talking about Hafrosha without the Das Balabayas, and the Balabayas comes later on to be Megala Das as to whether the Shliach did what he wanted to do, we're going to tell the story now of Amemar, Umar, Zutra, of Ashi, the three great Amoroim, Iklu'u, Lebustona, de Maribar Isik. They were invited to meet with Maribar Isik. Mari Bar Isik owned an orchard, and when they got there, Mari Bar Isik was nowhere to be found. Who was in charge supervising the orchard? It was the Oris. The Oris is the sharecropper. I see Arisa Tame Verimoni. Now, in this case, we're not talking about the mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma, but rather the mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchid. And the Oris laid out in front of these great Amoroim dates and pomegranates. And Tosus points out that the Oris brought these from the orchard before they actually divvied up the fruits. In other words, the Oris was not the proud owner of these pomegranates. And the question is there an issue here, a chash of gezel? Again, if the peros would have been in the house, not in the orchard themselves, then probably the Oris, we can assume, was bringing his own fruits. But here that he brought it from the orchard before the fruits have been divvied up, this is a situation where we have to be choshish for gezel. Shodek Hamayhu, he presents this banquet of fruits in front of these three Amoroim, Amem of Ravashi, Achle Mehem. Two out of the three ate from them. They were not inhibited, and they assumed that it's okay. Now, we're not exactly sure why they assumed that. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps Aloch is like Abaye, so that even if later on Mari Bar Isik would agree, it's still Yeyush Shelo Midas. So why would they have no hesitations in eating these fruits? The Gemara says Marzucha lo elchil, which makes a lot of sense because Yeish lo vidas lo afi Yeish. So the possibility exists here that the Amoraim that were Mekil, they were of the opinion that when the actual division of the produce would be implemented, Mori Bar Isik would make a declaration, Sheyitol Kenegin Mashenosnu Lechachomin. He would certainly say that the Aris rightfully owns those peros. He's going to certify or lasher, you know, that language of Tosis is Titol Keneged Mashenasati Lehem. He's speaking in the first person on behalf of the Aris, that the Aris is going to say, look, I should have gotten 100, that's what's coming to me. I took, let's say, 1 or 2% of this 100 to give to these, to be Mechavi the Archim. Instead of giving me 100, only give me 98. And there's going to be an agreement between the two, between the Baal, in this case Mori, and the Aris, that the Aris indeed gave from his own that which will eventually be his own fruits. The question that the Achronim raise on this Tosfos is, according to Abayi, who holds Yeish lo midas lo v'yeush, and in this case the Aris, in order to eat from the Aris, you need that he makes a kinyan. Since can somebody in Yeish, we have Yeish lo midas haviyeish, according to Rava lo haviyeish, but it would seem that as far as making a kinyan on a chayfetz, you can't use Yeish lo midas even according to Rava. To say that the Aris somehow lemafreya is kona his chelek, because he's going to make an agreement with the Baal HaBayis that the Yanaku, you know, that they'll subtract from his rightful percentage the fruits that he offered to the Amoraim, and therefore the kinyan of the Aris is kilu chal lemafreya from the time that he offered the peros, when there hasn't been a chalukah yet. That's very difficult. How could Tosfos operate here within the context of Shalom Midas? Shalom Midas works on what we call a Chalos Kolbu, like we said that the Yeush, as we discussed yesterday, is being mashlim the Shem Ovud. But to say that a Kenyan can be Chal based on what's going to happen tomorrow and be Mafkia Gezel and generate Bailus, and all we need is that later on the Bailim will say, okay, I'm not Makpid. I mean, right now at this moment, everything in the orchard belongs to the Baal HaBayis. So how can you say Yeish lo midas in this case? And apparently the only way of understanding this Tosfos and justifying it is you assume that somehow in the case of Aris, we're not dealing with Gzela, at least according to some of the Amoraim. Mentioned quickly the Ran's approach here, the Ritva's approach. The Ran is of the opinion that there's a difference between peros tlushim and peros mechubarim as far as the bailus of the Aris is concerned. The Ritva Bechlal disagrees here, and he says that we're not dealing with bailus of the Aris, but rather we're dealing with the bailus of Mori Bar Isik, who wants to be Mahana a Talmud Chacham, and that for him is a schus. And that's why this could work according to those Tanoim. Be that as it may, what happens in the Hemshech HaSipur of this story? Keep in mind that Marzutra was hesitant, he didn't want to eat these fruits. Adahachi, in the meantime, Asa Mori Bar Isik, Ashkechinu, he finds the Amoraim, he meets with them, the Omer Larise, and he turns to his Aris and he says, Amailo Aisi Luhura Bona Mihanach Shapirta. Why don't you give them fruits of a higher quality? Now, at this point, Marzucha is still hesitant, he doesn't want to eat from the fruits. Omru Leame Marvaravashi Marzucha. Okay, until now I understand. You know, Yesh Shalomidas Lohaviesh, but Hashta Amai Lo Ochil Mar, why aren't you willing to eat it? Basanya, we have the famous brisa that we've been discussing at great length, that if the Baal Bayis says klachei tzol yofos, v'im nimtzu yofos v'im chumasa truma, if he indicates in a serious way that he's happy with what the shliach did, that's a gili das, and here Mori was megala das that he's happy with what the Ors could have done even more, that's what he's saying. And again, this is not lechora a reflection of the final maskana that we had earlier in this sugya, that we're talking about a shaso shliach, the shavi shliach. It seems like the Gemara is going back to its original understanding of klachei tzol yofos, where this askama lemaisav, it was not a shliach situation, and that could work better with the Gra's girsa in this Gemara for the Rambam. In any event, Omar Lahu, Marzucha turns to these Amoraim and he says, Hachi Omar Rava. I have another statement of Rava. Lo Omru Klache Tzol Yofos El Inyan Truma Bilvad Mishum De Mitzvah Hu De Nichole. In the case of Truma, we apply the principle of Mitzvah. Aval Hacha Mishum Ksifusa Hu De Omar Hacha. In other words, in the case of Hafrosha's mitzvah, then when the Baal Bayis, when Reuven comes, so in this case Mori Bar Yisak had it been Hafrosha's truma and a mitzvah, and the peros require Hafrosha, so the Hafrosha has to be done, and therefore if Shimon implements Hafrosha on behalf of Reuven, that's a good thing, and the mitzvah is being fulfilled. In such a case, we say that Klachei Tzol Yofos is clearly an indication that he wants the shlichus. And according to Abaye, we're going to have to say to Mashish, according to Rava, it's Yei Shalom Midas. But here, there's no mitzvah to give these fruits. And therefore, there's no svara to assume that, let's anticipate that the Baal Bayis, that Mori Bar Yisak, would be happy. And he will say, why didn't you give from better? You know, the fact that he said, why didn't you give from better? That's not a proof that he was happy with what they did, but rather he was embarrassed. And what does it mean, Mishum Kisufa? Whose embarrassment are we talking about? So if you take a look in Rashi and others, you'll see Shalo Yisbayish Ha'oris. Mori Barisik made this statement, oh, you could have given him better quality. He was only trying to protect the Oris, who did something without Rishus, from being embarrassed about it. But we really have a chashash gezel if we eat these fruits. We don't really know that Mori Bar Yisak was actually and genuinely happy about it. There are all sorts of things that people say because they want to avoid an embarrassment situation with the Evet, but they're not happy with it l'chatkila. And therefore Marzutra was very hesitant and inhibited about eating from these fruits. The Gemara now asks a kasha on Rava from the parsha of Hechsher Kabbalas Tumah, which is a case of Tumas Ochlin. The Torah in Vayikra Yud Aleph says the following: V'chiyuta mayim al zera. If water, now the word yutan is a very strange conjugation. We'll have a lot to say about that later. It means sort of in the reflexive that water fell upon the grains, upon the zera, the seeds, and then nafal nivlason, that a nevela had contact with this zera, the nafal nivlason olav on the zera is tomehu lachem. And this is the source for Kabbalas Tumas Ochlin. Once there's Hechsher, there are seven mashkim that are makshir, that's the Mishnah in Makshirin in the sixth parak. One of them, of course, is Mayim. And here, water fell on the Zera, and it's makshir the Zera to be makabal tumah if an avela comes in contact. At the beginning of Makshirin, the Mishnah establishes that mashkim are not makshir the ochel unless there was ratzon habaylin, that the owner of the ochlim was very satisfied and happy with the fact that these liquids came in contact and that his peros got wet. And the Braisa now is going to deal with the case where a person has harvested his fruits, he lays them out on the rooftop, and tal and dew falls on the fruits. Tashma, we learned in the Braisa, Odeu atal alem v'samach, as long as the fruits are still wet with tal, they haven't dried off, and the owner of these fruits is happy with this situation. Hareza b'chiyuta. In such a case, the pears are mukshar l'kabel tum. Nigvu, once the sun dries the dew off the fruits, afal pisha samach, even though the owner of these fruits indicates that he's happy with it. And here we turn to Chav Beis, Amid Beis. Einon bedin kiyuta. That's not considered hechsha l'kabel tum. And even if an avelu would come in contact with these fruits, nevertheless, they would not be makabel tum. So the Gemara now wants to relate this brisa to our sugya of yesh lo midas and prove abaye shita that yesh lo midas lo aviyush. We're going to analyze now the sefer of the brisa. There was niguv, and the bialim were samach after niguv. Is lav, why is it that in this case there's no hechsher l'kabel tumah? Why isn't it considered kiyutan? It must be mishum de lo amrinu. We don't say that keva de goy milsa the hashen nichol, even though now he's indicated his happiness, his approval of the situation. May karanami nichole. We're going to go back in the time machine and assume that there was ratzon. There was haskama back at the time when the fruits were still wet before the sun dried them. According to Rava, who says that Yesh Lo Midas Havi Yesh, then we should say that now that he indicates his approval, then even before, when they were wet, he was happy with it. And here, of course, the Rishonim are going to raise the following issue. Even Rava agrees that in Dovash Yesh Lo Simon, we don't say Yesh Lo Midas. We have to have something that's Omed Li Yesh, like a Dovash Eibo Simon. That's where Rav insists that Yesh Lo Midas Havi Yesh. Here, how do we know one way or the other whether or not he's satisfied with the fact that they were wet? And if you look at Shita Megubetzis, he says that in this case of Peros, Minastam, Ein Omdim Shia Marutza Vechsherah. There's no way of saying that this is a Dovah Shem Bo Sima, that he's going to be happy about the wetness of it. And that's why the Torah requires Das Bailam to be Machshir. So why would Rava have any problem with this? How would his Ratzon Shabbasov work L'mafreya? How can you say Ochiach Sofal Tchiloso? And the Shita answers to justify the premise of the Machshir here is that since he puts them on the roof, he knows for sure that the Tal, he's not stupid, is going to wet these payrolls. And therefore it's considered that it's omeid to get wet, and he's merutza, he's happy with them. It's mamish like a dovar she'ein bo simon, and that's indicated by the fact that he placed his fruits up on the roof. So the Gemara now defends Rava and says, Shiny hasav d'chsiv ki yite ad she'yite. Now, it's interesting that the pasuk says two things. It says ki yitain without a vav, and it says ki yutan with a vav. We call a ksiv and a kri, meaning the three letters that are in the Torah, yud, tav, nun. If you put a kubutz under the yud, it's as if it's tantamount to adding a vav, and it's yutan, and that's the way we have a mesorah to read this word. But if you take a look at the ksiv, it says ki yitain. There is no vav there. The Torah certainly is indicating that the Bailam has to actively wet his fruits in order for them to become mukshal kabel tumah. And therefore, even Rav would agree that in this case of kabbalas tumah is ad sheyite. We need that the Bailam do so. Now, wait a second. If we needed the Bailam do so, let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha says the Bailam were happy when the Tal came down. Where's the Ki'itain? In that case, Yehochi Reisha Nami. In the in the case where he was happy while the fruits were wet, when the wetness was not through his yitain, there was no nesina of mayim on his part, he didn't pour water onto his fruits. And the Gemara answers, Hasam kid Rav Papa. We have to understand the drasha, this pasuk, the way Rav Papa understood it. Rav Papa Rami, Rav Papa asked the following. There are two ways of understanding this ki yitain. Is it the way it's written or the way we understand it, the way we read it? Ksiv ki yitain, the ksiv is without a vav, and it sounds like he, the Baal, has to actively soak his fruits in water. Ukarina, but yet the Masorah is that we read it ki yutan, with a kubutz under the yud, as if there was a vav, and a vav. Haketzad, how do we reconcile the contradiction between the kri and the ksiv? The inon ki yutan dumya dechiyite. In other words, we don't need that he actually place the water onto the fruits, pour the water onto the fruits, because otherwise the kriya, the way we read the pasuk, makes no sense ki yutan. But yet it's not enough that the fruits are wet. We need some sort of getting back to the ksiv of ki yite. So we need this middle stage. It's not that it the bialim are out of the picture and the fruits are wet, and that mitzias itself of yutan is enough to engender hechshel kabbalas tuma. It's not the other polar extreme of ki yitain, the way it's written, that we need that the bialim have to actually pour the water or soak the fruits in water, but we need some sort of a middle stage. That's a pshara between ki yutan and ki yitain. So what are we deriving from ki yitain if we're reading it as ki yutan? Ma yitain ledas, af ki yutan nami ledas. He doesn't have to actually place the fruits into the water actively with his yodayim, the kumbase, but we need something that could make it as if he put it into the water. And that is dumya dechi yitain. And what's that? That's das. The key element here is das. We have to have das in the maisa. In other words, if we take the case of Aveda, for example, the classical case of Rava, that Yeish Shalom Das, Havi Yeish, there we're not talking about Das. We're not talking about Hakna. Right? We're talking about Yeish. Yeish is not Das. And whenever you need Yeish, and all you need is Yeish, then we can apply the principle of Shalom Das, Havi Yeish. But when you need an active Das, then even Rava would have to agree that Shalom Midas is exactly what it is, Shalom Midas. So if he has Ratzon while the Peros are still in water, that's as if he had Ritzui B'Shas Nesina, and now that Nesina's Mayim, which happened naturally through Tal, that's related to him as if he placed the fruits into the water or poured the water onto the fruits. But if they're already dry, then that's not similar to Ki Yitain. No way, no how. He's totally unaware of the situation. Again, this is a little bit difficult in terms of, in light of the Shittim Kopetzes that we saw before, that in fact he placed the fruits up on the roof knowing full well that the tal is going to fall and they're going to get wet. Why isn't that considered a das b'shas nesina? Okay, that's a question that has to be addressed. The Ritva wants to say that in general, although according to Rava, Gili Das works l'mafreya, here the din of Hechsher Tumah is the exception to the rule because of the Ki Yitain of the Ksiv, which means that we need his own personal Nesina. And even though the Torah was making it with the Kriya and says Ki Yutan, but nevertheless the Torah was machmir that we need the idea B'Shas Hechsher. So again, in the Havamina, if we would have assumed just simply ki yutan, that would be a classical case where Rava's principle of yesh lo midas haviyesh would apply, because the situation is such that the water is on the fruits, and we have a separate tanai of ratzon, and that ratzon could come later, just like in the case of avud, we have an objective avud. The strings are still attached to the violin because we need Yeush. And the answer is that Yeush is a separate external condition which can be fulfilled later, and we operate with Yeush Shalom Idas Havi Yeush. Here too, the Ratzon for the Kiyutan is something that can be supplied later on. But now that we have the Kiyitain, now we need Das B'Shas Nesina Samai.
The Gemara now continues to ask a kash on Rofa. Tashma, Diom Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yishmo ben Yod Sadok, Min Layin Li Avedish Shot Fanoshi Muteris Nixiv, Vechain Tassel Chamoro, Vechain Tassel Simloso, Vechain Tassel Chol Avedas Achichasher Tovad Mimenu Umitsasa. And there's an extra word, Mimenu, here in this Pasu. And the drush of Rav Yishmael is Mishavuda Heimenu. If it's lost from him, meaning he doesn't know where it is, it's accessible to anyone else, you know, anyone in the future is going to find it, then the parish and the mitzvah of Ashosved applies. Yotza is coming to exclude this amud, Zo, the case of Shotfanar, where it's on the bottom of the river, Shehi Avudu Mimenu Vieta Mitsuya Yitzel Kol Adam. It's lost for everybody. No one's going to find it. Now, this doesn't prove anything about Yehi Shalom Midas. This is a separate halacha derived as a miyud from the parasha of Hashabbos Aveda of Avudu Mimenu Umi Kol Adam. Now the Gemara is going to clarify its kasha. Visura Dumya Dehatera. The Torah was matir the case of Avudu Mimenu Umikol Adam, and from that we're going to make an equation to the case of Isura, the case of an Avedu which is Mitsuya Itzel Kol Adam, where you're not allowed to take it because the Mitzvah Hashava applies. Ma Hetera Bein De Isba Simon Bein De Lesba Simon Shara is Af Isura Bein De Isba Simon Ubein de lespa simon asura. Here we have a proof for Abaye that just like in the case of Avudu Mimenu Umikol Adam Shotvanar Zuto Shalyam, it's irrelevant as to whether there's a simon on the object. That is an objective avedu which the Torah was matir, and the Torah was mafkia the mitzvah of Hashav and the chiyuv Hashav. So too, by analogy, in the flip case where Bisura, we're talking about an Aveda which is not Avuda Mikol Adam, it's accessible to others, just he doesn't know where it is, the Bailam is unaware, is it makes no difference whether it's got a Simon or it doesn't have a Simon. In all cases it's Asura, there's a Chiyuv Hashava. Just like when the Torah was Mafkia the Chiyuv Hashava, it makes no difference even if it has a Simon, so too in the Torah was Machayev Hashava, which is called Isura, the Torah did so even if it has a Siman. Even if it has no Siman. And the reason is because there was no Yeish. This is Yeish Shalom Midas. And as a result of this kasha, the Gemara says, Tufta de Rava Tufta, this Bryce of Rabbi Shmuel is an open and shut contradiction to Rava, and Vehilchus HaKavase Dabaye. And we're going to Paskin like Avaye that Yeish Shalom Midas, Lo Avi Yeish. Based on this equation between Hetera and Isura. Now, whenever you see a language Tiyuvta, Ploni Tiyuvta, it means that he's being rejected and Allah is not like him. Here, the Tiyuvta, the Roman Tiyuvta, the Hilchas HaKavase Dabaye, Bial Kigam. There are six cases in Shas where we pass like Abaye against Rova, and the Rashi Tevis and the Notriku is Yal Kigam. Let's just mention the six cases of Yal Kigam. Yud is Yei Shalom Midas, that's our sugya. The Ayin is a sugya in Perkachovel of Eid Zomeim Lamafreya Hu Nifsal. And even though Rova says that Eid Zomeim is only Mikad Lahava, we paskin that Eid Zomeim is Lamafreya Hu Nifsal. The Sugin Sanhedrin is the Lamed of Lechi HaOmed Me'elov, whether we recognize and validate such a Lechi. He didn't place the Lechi deliberately, but it was there. The Kuf is Kiddushin Shlo Nimsaru Lebia, like a case of a man who marries two sisters, whether we validate such a Kiddushin or not. And the Gimel here of Kigam is Gilui Daita Vegita, a case where the Shliach was sent with a get and the Baal indicated through his actions that he's not happy, he would like to be Mevatel the Shliach. The Mem here of Kigam, the last letter of the six, is Mumar Ochel Nevelos Lahachis, whether he's Posel Yedus
or he's not posel yeyus. Play Rav Acha braid the Rav or Rav Ashi, v'chimi Acha the Yisosiv Rava, hani tamer de zika hechi achlinim lahu. Now that we've rejected the heter of Rav of Yesh Lo Midas, how is it that we allow ourselves and we give permission to eat dates that were blown off the tree by a wind? How can we go ahead and eat them? The Bailim are unaware of the fact that these dates were blown off, and even though when he finds out about it, he'll be misyayish, but now he doesn't know about it. Yesh Lo Midas Lo Havi Yeyush, it's Gzela. Amalei Rav Ashi responds, Kevan de ikash gotzim v'ramasim de ka'achli lahu, me'ikara ye'ushe mi'ayish minayu. You're thinking that maybe the Bailim will, you know, when they find out that the wind blew off their dates, they can go ahead and pick the dates up, and they have full intention of taking them, or maybe they're not aware of what's going to be. No, here it's clear, and nobody questions that these tamarim are going to be devoured by shkotzim v'ramosim as soon as they fall to the ground. And therefore, meikara yuish yuishay miyayish minahu lechatchila, from the get-go, there was yeush. It's not yeush alo midas, it's considered yeush midas. The Bailim are aware of the fact of what's going to happen, and they were miyayish from the get-go. The Gemara says, Rav Acha turns, and he asks the question, but yasme, let's say perhaps these day trees were owned by Yisomim. These are young children. Delav b'nei mechila ninhu. My, what's the halacha here? Again, you have to know whether this kasha is a kasha on Abaye or even a kasha on Rava. Meaning, this question l'chora, at the face of it, should be difficult even before we paskin like Abaye. And the reason for that is because Even Rava, who holds Yesh Lo Midas Havi Yesh, that's only for a person who's capable of Yesh. A katan, a young child, is not capable of Yesh. And therefore it would seem that this Gemara's Kasha is difficult even according to Rava. Look at Tosis, Divrei Maaseh D'Lav, he points out that according to Rava, we can assume that they'll be Messiahish when they become Gdolim, years down the line. And the Yeyush Lo Midas applies here as well. And this Rabosai would put further teeth into what we've been saying about Yeyush Lo Midas Havi Yeyush, according to Rava, that the Shem Avud itself is Mafkia Bailus. We just need to know that objectively, in a Dover Shem Bo Simon, there is Yeyush built into the Cheftza. And that's the similarity between Zuto Shel Yam and Yeyush Lo Midas and the Dover Shem Bo Simon. But again, that's going to be meaningful only according to Rava. The Gemara's Kash is according to Abaye, Yeyush Lo Midas Lo Vi Yeyush, and Yisomim, who are young children, don't have Das. A Kotan is a Lav Bar Das, and therefore his Yeyush is not effective, and therefore his Hefker is not Hefker. And therefore, how could we permit ourselves, you know, the luxury of taking these tamarim? Amalei, Rav Ashi answers, Baga di ara di asmi lomach zekina. You know, if you take a look at a group of fields that are in a valley, you don't assume that a priori that this field that you're taking the fruits from is owned by Yisomim. But Enochinami Muchsok vi Omed Mai, what if we know that this particular field is owned by Yisomim? They inherited, these children inherited from their father who passed on. Is Krachta Mai Amalei Asiron? In such a case, Enochinami, it's Asur. What's Krachta? These are in Ivrit, these are called Dekolim Mukafim Begoder. This is another case where we assume that, you know what, there's no yesh, meaning supposing there are fences in such a way that the shkotzim ramasim can't get to eat the tamarim, and therefore there's, even according to Rava, there's no way of anticipating that there'll be yesh. Amalei asirin, that is asur. The whole heter of yesh alo midas will apply in a case where we know that the fruits are owned by Gdolim and not by Yisomim Ketanim, that's going to Abaye. And in the case of Krachta, where the the Shkatzim Vermasim are not going to get to it, then it could be, and that's what we have to analyze, that even Rava would agree that we're not allowed to take the Tamarim. This more or less brings the Sugya of Yesh Lomidas to its conclusion for our purposes. The Gemara now is going to analyze the Mishnah of Krichos B'Shus Arabim Harel Shalo, and the question here is going to be the status of Simon She'osui Lidores. Omar Rabba Afilu B'Dover She'esh Bo Simon, even if the Krichos have a Simon, an identifying mark, nevertheless it's a Simon She'osui Lidores insofar as these Krichos are left in Rishus Arabim. Alma Kosova Rabba Simon She'osui Lidores Slavi Simon. You cannot recognize the status and validate a Simon when it's lost in a way that the Darsim, the people who travel through the Rishus Rabim, they go back and forth, they're going to step on the Simon, stop on it, and completely mar it. And that's not called a Simon. A Simon has to have a certain permanence to it, a certain assumption that the Bailim have, that they have a Simon, they'll be able to identify it, and that's Mechayev and Ashova. Rava disagrees. Rava is of the opinion that Simon Sha'asli Doris, right now it's still a Simon, and therefore he says, Lo Shanu, when does the Mishnah allow you to maintain ownership, the finder can keep the Krichos Sarabim? That's El B'Dover She'em Bo Simon, B'Dover She'esh Bo Simon Chayev, Alma Kasoma Rava, Simon Asli Doris, Havi Simon. And basically Rav understands that within the context of Dumya de Simla, which is the paradigm from which we derive Simon, as long as it has a Simon on it right now, at this present moment, the Torah validates that Simon. It's Dumya de Simla. I mean, Rava looks at it from a psychological perspective. How can you rely on the Simon? In the case of a Simla, it's permanent. In the case of Osli Doris, it's not permanent. There are those who had the tradition, a presentation of this sugya as a sugya unto itself, that Rabba and Rava explicitly addressed the case of Simon Osili Doris, Rabba Amar Lavi Simon, Virava Havi Simon. So Mirza Shem, in the next shiur, maybe we'll even get together today if we have time, we'll try to analyze the machlokas between Rabba and Rava about Simon Ha'osli Dores. Is it a valid Simon or is it not?